Wednesday afternoon, Shahr of Avodas Elokim, June 16th. Oh, Lamed Sivan. Good Chodesh, everybody. From the fifth parak to the end is questions and answers that he has the neshama conversing with the seichel. So I have to decide if how boring it is. Okay. What? Shahr of Avodas Elokim was great. The last two prokim were a little, and I don't want to. We'll see. It's a conversation, and he goes. It's. I don't know if I would give. Okay, I'll decide. I can't ask you to decide because you know, I have to decide. Okay, we're in Perek Dalet of Shahr of Avodas Elokim, and we're finishing the fourth perek today, hopefully. And he's talking about the ten madregos of Avodas Hashem. Levels of belief which become automatically levels of commitment and of loyalty to Hashem. The first level, we'll start learning the text again from the fifth level. The first level was people who are governed by their taivas, so they don't believe in anything. He calls them even moes b'torah. They think maybe it was a good idea for savages, but they're not savages. But he says clearly, they don't believe in anything. Which is, you know, you say, oh, what lowly people, but that's most of the world nowadays. They're just interested in taking what they can from this world, governed by taivas, and there's no less din, less dayan, chasu shalom, and there's no nothing. And the reason, he says, mipnei. The reason is because govar ta'avosam al sechlam. So they want to have their lives, because seichel would make you examine the bria, would make you realize there's a borei, would make you realize the Borei created the world for a purpose, and so on and so forth. Number two is already people that believe in Hashem. There's ten madregas. Two believe in Hashem. They think it was miracles, but the Torah is man-made. Hashem authorized somebody to come up, Moshe Rabbeinu specifically, to come up with a system that would make a nice society, a good society. But there's no obligations. There's no real obligations. It's not heavenly. It's not spiritual. No connection to Hashem. It's man-made. There's no schar v'onesh. It's just a really good way to live, like a social compact. That's Madrega 2. You believe in Hashem, though, and you believe that Hashem inspired it. And unfortunately, this is already something that really people that believe in Hashem would already, you know, think about. Number three is, no, I've added the Torah from Hashem, but Olam Haba does not motivate them at all. They're not thinking of Olam Haba. There's already, you could say, uh-oh, I wonder how much Olam Haba motivates me. And we're only up to Madrega number three. They're motivated, it teaches self-control, it's spiritual in the sense that it's Hashem, and they're listening to Hashem, but they don't have Olam Haba in the picture of their mind. What's in their minds is the Schar V'Onesh of which the Torah speaks of, rain, good lives, Schar V'Onesh, and Olam Hazeh. He says the problem is because the Torah indeed doesn't talk barely at all, ever, barely about Olam Haba, about the nefesh. So you look at the Torah, it talks about Geshem and all about those things, which he brings from Sukkim and Nach, that obviously, he says, if Sadia Gaon discusses this issue, he talked about it in Shara Bitachon, and there's a greater picture here than just the 120 years we spend in this world. So other people, maybe they believe in it, but they're not motivated by it, which is what makes it scary, as I say. They're not motivated by Olam Haba. Number four is Devin, Hashem, Torah, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. They believe it, but they care about Olam Hazeh too much. They love this world, and they So you say, what's the difference in belief? Because it strengthens the commitment. Right? As I say, every level of belief strengthens your commitment. If you think about Olam Hazeh, you know, about Olam Haba. I mean, once in a while, you know, you know it's there. But since, again, it's very difficult, since we don't have a picture of it, we don't understand the pleasure of Olam Haba, we could say certain words, and then anemies of Ashkina, and you become one with Hashem, and we even learn Pirkei Avos, and it says, Yofesh, or Achas, you know, Koras Ruach, Olam Haba, Mikol Chaye Olam Hazeh. But, you know, it doesn't mean anything to us, because we can't picture it. So, it's like on the back burner. So you'll say, so what's the difference? The difference is if you believe it, there's a stronger commitment. It will be that much harder for you to do an Avera. It'll be that much easier for you to do a mitzvah. It'll be that much easier to be most nefesh, a little at least. Maybe not a lot, but a little. Because, you know, you believe in it. So that's number four. Number five. We'll start with number six, learning it inside. Number five is really very interesting, he says. Because number five, six, and seven sort of bunched together. Five, six, seven, and eight really bunched together. Where you believe everything but. So the but of number five is what he talks about in Shari Yichud HaMaisa. And he makes that, although this makes a step in the ladder, it means it's a step up. You're there in Olam Haba, but you care, this is what he says, you want people to hold of you. And it's a tremendous motivator. He devotes a whole shahr to it. Yichud HaMaisa. Not to be like that. To be motivated only by the Ratzon Hashem. But, so this number five is, you're there in Olam Haba and everything, but you, it's a big part of your life that people hold of you, and you want to have a certain social circles, you want to have certain friends, you want to have a certain social life, worried about shidduchim, worried about getting into the cheder. So again, there's nothing wrong with wanting to get into a specific cheder if you hold that's the right cheder to be mechanach your child. And it's wonderful. But that's not called you're motivated by, that's motivated by good things. That's not motivated by other people. But we're talking about where it's really in contradiction, or at least it's not matim with your principles. But, you know, what can you do? You gotta be practical, which, you know, if you hear those words, I always say run away when someone says you gotta be practical. So that's number five. Number five is, it's just no Yichud HaMaisa there. He believes in everything, but the main push, just like in number three, the main push was Olam Hazeh. And even in number four, where you believed in Olam Haba, but the main push was Olam Hazeh. But number five is, the main push is, what do others think of me? So you say, why does that rate its own level? Because the Chavis HaLavavis throughout the whole Sefer, and Kol Shekein, he devotes a shahr only to it. That is so ikadik. That what makes it Chavis HaLavavos, because the real Avoda is in our lave. And no one knows what's going on in our lave. And this is why the greatest thing you can do is to do something anonymously. That's, again, constantly repeated in the Chovos HaLevavos. And he holds this. Because in terms of Avodas Hashem, you see, this is the whole point of the whole Sefer. Like, Chovos HaLevavos. And if your lave, he calls it Shituf. He uses very harsh words. These are words that are used by Avodah Zarah. So say, I would never bow down to another god. But, so it says, I want you to know that if your motivation is what people think of you, you're worshipping another god. You're not just worshipping Hashem. It's not really Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So you say, what? Because when you're dealing with lave issues, that's what it's like. It's like you are worshipping Beshituf. Okay, that's number five. So again, we wish we were by number five, because Mr. Number Five is a tzaddik, so to speak. Mr. Number Five is not doing averas, he's doing mitzvahs, he believes in spirituality, but what are people thinking about me? Am I getting the cover that I deserve? because I'm such a good person. Okay. The reason it's so terrible, again, on one hand, it's pretty good. Like, you know, you say, halavai, we would be like that. Because the Ramadan guy is not doing Averis. He didn't want to call us halavavos. But the truth is, the level of his commitment will only be as strong, and when he's davening in private, or the thought of doing something anonymously, is anathema. Like, he won't consider it. I Olam Haba and Hashem, he can't shake that sense of self, and the Chazal always calls it Sheikhtov. He's worshipping himself also. He's not just worshipping Hashem.
And why would they want to because
they will say that since Chazal recommend doing things shelo lishma, and we talked about that, what does the Chavis Lavavas do with that Chazal? And we said it's like you give a child. First of all, it's your ultimate, well, not first of all, your ultimate goal has to be to reach lishma. You're using it as a stepping stone. Shebitoch shelo lishma bo lishma, all the Bali Musa say, has to be part of your usage of shelo lishma, is in order to one day break free of that. So we're like children. The Rambam describes very beautifully how do you get a child to learn Torah. You give him a candy. You know, if you learn, you know, Sabonim, they give out candies, they give out raffle tickets. If the kid guy's 30 years old and he only comes to the Beis Medrash when they're giving out candies and raffle tickets, right? But we're laughing, but to get people to learn Ben Hasmanim, they give milgas. They don't say, they give milgas. And they're not just giving milgas because people donate the money and every Avrich needs money desperately. They're giving milgas because the Beis Medrash will not be, they won't have the amount of people in it as when they give milgas. So, why do the Gedolim, we'll call it, allow campaigns like Kupa Sa'ir and such things? So they will tell you, if you ask them, and they're honest, they will tell you that, what can you do? The places need the money, we gotta get the money, and this is the way people give money, and it's very nice to say, but people should do things lishma, but then we're going to have to close up shop. We're not going to have enough money. We know that. So call it the doors on a low madrega. This is why they allow it. There's no question in my mind that's why they allow it. It's sad because tzedakah, ironically, has, according to the Ramban, there's a lav in the 365 lavim. There's a lav not to think that staka is hurting you financially. There's a lav, a special lav, not to think that you're being hurt financially. So you're saying, well, that's a pretty tough lav to follow, because I used to have $1,000 in the bank, and now I have $750 in the bank. Like, where did that money go? Like, I have less than before. So going to Ramban Yehoshua lav, if you are bothered by that, if you think like that, I'm not sure why. That's for another day, we'll discuss it, and we'll delve into it. But the point is, so this is, how many people daven the same at home with no one looking at them as when people, and they're in shul and people are looking at them? How many people do anything? How many people, when no one's around, how many people pick up the a paper towel from the floor? And they'll do it when people are around, and they're not even consciously thinking, oh, that guy's looking at me and he's going to hold of me. They just, when people are around, you're in a different mindset, and that's the way it is. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was a Tana, told his Talmidim, halavai, people would be as embarrassed of Hashem as they are of people. He said Yira, but the Mefarshim explained it means Busha. That they wouldn't do Averis, right? That they wouldn't do Averis. Because they don't do Averis when people are looking, but they certainly do Averis when Hashem is looking. This is a very high madrega to break free of five. The Pella is that there's still five more madregas to go to reach the ultimate. it's just sad if someone decides that in my lifetime I'm never going to be able to do things lishma. Well, first of all, it may be true, but again, you should be inspired. We should all be inspired by the Chavis al Babas. So once a day, you know, once a day do something anonymous. Once a day do something lishma. Once a month, you do a mitzvah. Try to focus. Then in 2 years, you can try two mitzvahs, not just one. It's an avodah. Okay. Anyway, this is not really the place to be so ma'irich in it, because he has a whole shahr that he devotes to it. What I want to say is that he's giving 10 madregas of avodah Hashem, of emunah, of commitment, and he's saying this person's there, like everything, but they're working, you know, for their own, for kavod, they want people to. Number 6. Number 6 is interesting. It's very interesting that he makes another madriga out of this. Number 6 is that he's not thinking of other people. He wants to make Hashem happy. Wow! I wish I was like that. What do you mean it's only number 6? I think we're like at 10.5. He only wants to make Hashem happy. He wants Hashem to be pleased with him. But he wants schar. He wants Hashem to be pleased with him so that there's a payday at the end of the day. So that's not good. He doesn't care about. So in number 6 it's Olam Hazeh schar, and in number 7 it's Olam Habos schar, but it's schar. So let's see. Wait, let me find. V'amadvega shishis anoshim kibdu b'maseim gemul habori b'olam hazeh b'levad. It's Hashem, the Torah is Hashem, and they're not thinking of other people. They're not doing it to find favor in the eyes of other people. They're on a very high spiritual level. They're only thinking of Hashem. But their point is that they want schar. Me'avosam oso uvacharam b'ni imosav uvacharam. They choose b'ni imosav. Ve'inam avinam gul olam habo ni imosav. Again, they're focused on the schar v'olam hazeh. Number 7 is the focus on the schar v'olam abba, but that's already, but it's still focused on schar. And this is the memory of us. Al tiu kavodim amisham shenas harav amlas v'kabo pras. He's speaking to people on Madrega number 7. People that believe the Torah is Hashem. They believe that those olam abba. They're motivated, you know, they're motivated by olam abba. They're not doing it so that people should hold of them. They olam haba, but they want the schar of olam haba, and that's their motivator. That's their so that he says about they got shvius on Hashem's balam komashik damlu zichro. Everything we talked about till now, and they build on that. Al hashatu kavanosam avodosam lelukim tochelos agmul bolam hazeh uba olam haba. V'lo yodu afoni avodos Hashem lishmo. This is not pure lishmo. They're not doing it because it's the will of Hashem, nekuda. There's no other words that follow that. Legadlo, lechabdo, leromamo, lemashayeus lo belavad. Serving Hashem is a way of thanking Him. That's the yisod of the sharav of the salokim, akoros hatov. This is our way of saying thank you to Hashem. And we, everything. V'aleim omer abzen zechonim levroch, al diyu kavodim amsham shenas harav al manas lekabul pras, elavu kavodim amsham shenas harav shal al manas lekabul pras. V'imor yishamayim aleichem. Can you criticize people on this madrega? No, you shouldn't criticize them. They're great. La madrega hashminas number 8. Number 8 is interesting. Number 8 is Yiras Ha'onesh. He puts that on a bigger madrega. I'm not sure why. I don't know. I'm not sure how to explain it. In other words, they're not motivated by the schar that they'll get. They don't have an ulterior. I do know why. Because in the Chavis al Babas' world, the lathe, like he's looking at the lathe as being exposed to everybody and everything. So they have no ulterior motive. See, that's what you get rid of. When you do number 5 and you get past number 6 and 7, there's no ulterior motive. No ulterior motive. They just, I mean, he doesn't, Yiras Ha'onesh maybe not as much as an ulterior motive. It's more like, if I don't, you know. That's, Here is Hashem is good, you know, even though there's a lashon in the Rambam and Chal, it's for children and it's easy. But, you know, we find Achrei Moshe Nebnei Aaron B'Karvosam Lufnei Hashem V'Yamusu. Rashi says, tell Aaron, you know, don't go into the base, make this whenever you want to, don't go in. Look what happened to your children. He's scaring him with Yiras Ha'onesh. And that's it. Adarabai. Nowadays, you know, there's no Yiras Ha'onesh. That's enough. Nowadays, somebody decided along the line that you can only teach kids with Ahava and with Ahava. And really, what people do nowadays, okay, again, it's Madregas, you can't jump a Madrega. So they have to go back to number two, I think, when people talk to kids, or even adults. How do they talk to them? You go to all these Kiruv websites, Kiruv yeshivas, they don't, at least the first couple of years, they talk about Madrega two, maybe three, meaning they don't talk about spirituality, they certainly don't talk about Olam Abba, they certainly don't talk about Onesh. Oh no, that's the big no. You get thrown out. You're thrown out for that. You talk about how it gives you family time, and your cell phone's turned off on Shabbos, and your family life is strong, and there's less divorces, and children are machabed their parents. You only tell that to parents, you don't tell that to the children. And you present a model society, which is really pretty low. But okay, if someone's climbing out of one, as I told you, these steps are important, Adarabba. Don't skip a step. If someone's walking, in today's world, a guy walks in, he's walking, they're not searching for spirituality anymore. Those days are over. For the most part. They have a different clientele now. The clientele is maybe someone that's repelled by the disgustingness of the world. Someone that sees Madrega 1 all around him or her and just like goes crazy from it. So you introduce him with number 2. And then you do that for a few years. Look what it gives you. Look, it makes such nice, well-behaved children. You have a Shabbos table. They're not well behaved at the Shabbos table. They don't tell them that. But they talk about like a model society. And we are. We are. I mean, any firm person, as bad as we are, as imperfect as we are, I should have said that, as imperfect as we are, we're like miles ahead. Miles and miles ahead. And if we would ever like do the mitzvahs, we'd really be dangerous. Talking about another Machavero mitzvahs. Okay, so that's what they, but nowadays even on, they don't talk about Onesh. They'll start talking about Tzchar. They'll talk about Tzchar. Okay, it's a very, Yiras HaOnesh nowadays is, because of all this was understood. I don't know. Because the Mesil Sesharim and the Rambam describe Yiras HaOnesh as such a low Madrega. You wouldn't think it comes, it's a higher Madrega than you want Schar. You would put it lower. So, I think, because in the Chavad of Lovus' world, it's worse to want Schar. You're back to that Shituf. You're back to, I'm not really just interested in what Hashem thinks of me. I want something out of it too. So you're doing something for yourself. It's like that, a shtickel by Yiras HaOnesh, obviously, I don't want to get punished. But on the positive side, you don't want to displease Hashem. It's like passive, you don't want to get a smack. So you don't want to get a smack. That's a higher madrega of the lathe, of the lathe's connection to Hashem. That's what you learn from this Chavad of Lovus. Maybe it's a chiddush, maybe I'm talking over your heads, I'm certainly talking over my head, but you're connecting. I would say clearly. I would say the Chavetz Chaim clearly holds that you're connecting to Hashem in a much more positive way. If you have Yiras HaOnesh, then if you want Schar, Because if you want schar, you have a double motivation. In a positive sense, meaning not active sense. I want Hashem, but I want payback, baby. I want payback. When you're so honest, it just keeps you honest. You know, you just, someone's about to smack you. So you're not consciously, let's say someone's standing above me with a baseball bat, and he's going to smack me in the head if I don't talk nicely to my wife. So I'm not thinking, this is what I think is Pshat B'chol Shavuos. I'm not consciously thinking, I really want to talk not nice to my wife, but I better not, because if I do, I'm going to get smacked in the head. And my motivation for talking nice is to avoid the smack. I don't think that's what happens. After a while, you like in the back of your mind, it like keeps you honest. And that's why I think it puts it on a higher madriga, because you're not consciously motivated. You know, it's just in the back of your mind. It keeps you honest. That's what I'm saying. It keeps you honest. Ava saschar, avodim ha-mishamshin is rav al-menas l'kabel pras. So they're not really, really serving Hashem. And the Yiras Onish or something keeps you honest. And Hashem says to Aaron HaKoyen, right? Achrimo shnei b'nei Aaron. Rashi says, he said, look, make sure it doesn't happen to you, what happened to them. Look what's going to happen if you're not careful. Yeah.
You said it just now, because the children... you want to motivate
them, you don't need sarah,
you're going to fast. Not
just to
motivate
them,
if you don't listen, you're
going
to go to your room. You know, and so you want to motivate children, you want to offer them a prize for it. That's like a lower level, right?
Yeah, but
the Chazal
says
it's
a higher level.
No, that is really cute, right? Yeah. So being scared about a punishment is
a
harder to...
Yeah, well, they say it doesn't work because then the kid rebels. When you talk about parenting and children and chinuch, the conventional wisdom, which I'll tell you what I think of it in a second. The conventional wisdom is that Yiras Onish backfires. That's the conventional wisdom. Yiras Onish gets kids off the derech, and they rebel, and it backfires. It inevitably backfires. And I say that the proof of the pudding is in the pudding, something like that. Meaning, things are getting worse, not better. So maybe we should reintroduce Yiras Onish, because maybe we're wrong. Maybe Yiras Onish is like a big thing that's missing in the chinuch of our children. That they're not scared of Gehenim, they're not scared of punishment. We're so busy, because the conventional wisdom nowadays, which is, I'll pick it all in. I know. Don't now, you go to Rosh Taiman now. Only motivate with schar. Don't threaten with punishment. They go to any mechanach. I don't know, but I say, you know, things are... First of all, I'm old-fashioned, and I'm still, I'm still feeling my father's patches. Right? You were allowed a patch in those days. It wasn't against the law. Maybe it's too high a madrega. I can turn it around and say, oh, I also say, don't do Yiras Onish, because according to the Chavis HaLadus, you have to be on a very high madrega to just be motivated by Yiras Onish. We're not on that madrega, we have to offer schar. Maybe. Maybe.
Somebody, I don't know, like I think from Pirkei Avos, if you read the be slow to anger and quick to let it go.
Yeah.
So somebody who needs a life like that and always thinking about those things, that's not schar, not onish.
Right. What do you mean? That's doing the right thing. That's you thinking Hashem wants me to act a certain way.
Spiritual way. Is that not? Or is that...
Yeah, that's... The biggest madrega you can be on is that your only purpose is to do Hashem's will. Right? So if a person is slow to anger and quick to forgive because it's going to lower the tension in the household, that's wonderful, but it's not a high madrega. I mean... It's a high madrega for us, because most people can't do it, and don't do it. Right? So if a person does it and conquers their anger, and speaks softly, and doesn't react negatively, and is not dismissive of the person they're talking to, and, you know, so that's already, we're like, whoa, that's great! But, the ultimate is to do it because it's the will of Hashem. And that's my only reason for doing it. Not because it gives me a pleasant life. Not because it gets me all of haba. Not because... It's a very high madrega. You know, again, we're talking about... But it's It is important to know, because maybe we could do one thing a week, only because it's Hashem's will. And it's hard for me, and I don't see me getting schar out of it, and I'm not thinking about Olam Haba, I don't know. That's the big, I don't know how you disconnect from the schar of Olam Haba. We're raised with it, we're taught it, and everybody, I call you so Yisrael Chelik Olam Haba, and we keep hearing about Olam Haba. And we keep on saying, you know, have a mechashev schar mitzvah keneged hefseida, the hefseid aveir keneged schar. It's talking about Olam Haba. Doesn't say be mechashev the schar mitzvah keneged hefseida, because you're going to displease Hashem. So I don't know how you could. The stories, the Baal Shem Tov sold his chelik in Olam Haba for an esrog, or it was the Vilna Gaon. Doesn't matter. It didn't happen anyway. But yeah, because now they said, oh, now I can do the mitzvah of esrog like I never did it before in my life, because I'm not even thinking about all of my bar. Okay, that's, you know, I don't know how you could tear yourself away from it. To me, it seems like an impossible task. Every way you turn, every medrash, every chazal, every musa sefer is talking about all of my bar. Like, you know, Zil Shasharim, and I, right, machovoso ba'olamo, to be nene miziv hashchina. That's the goal. So there's an eitzah. I'll give you an eitzah. The eitzah is, it's like even more impossible when you hear the eitzah. But it's, the eitzah is to say, yes, I want Olam Haba. But I only want Olam Haba because Hashem wants me to have Olam Haba. Because Hashem set up this system that if I do His will, I'll get Olam Haba. Because He's a mative. Right, because he wants to do good, and good is me getting Olam Haba. So I want it, and I welcome it, and I'll work for it, but like, because it's what Hashem wants, not because I personally will benefit from it. That's even harder than anything I said till now. But it is an Eitzah, because how do you lose? It's the answer to my question: how do you lose sight of Olam Haba if everybody keeps talking about it, and that's all they talk about? So you have to say, because of what Hashem wants. Hashem wants Olam Haba. Okay, well, you know, and ideally that's how you're supposed to daven. We're moving back six madrigas. When you daven for good health, you're not fighting with Hashem. You're supposed to be davening that Yi Ratzon Milfonecha. May this be your will. May this be your will. That's what it means. Not may you want. There's a deeper meaning. The translation isn't may you want. I wish you want to make me better. It's may it be your will that I get better. Not as a trick to get better, but it's if that's your will, then that's great. Because, you know, I want, let it be your will. And I will try to deserve it to be your will. The chinuch, anybody learn chinuch here? Every mitzvah. Well, the mitzvahs, he must say like 200 times in the Sefer HaChinuch that the purpose of this mitzvah is to make us into good people, so that will be we'll get tzar, so that Hashem will give us His tova. So you have to say that again. Okay, that's why, you know, we're learning about things, but getting back to the phenomena that Yiras Onish is on a different level. I'm saying, in today's world, you can't talk about Yiras Onish. You can't talk about it. They shut you up. They frighten everybody that the kids will go off to Derech. Everybody's, like, frightened of that. And I say, okay, I'm talking pompously, okay. I say that things are getting worse. And, like, so why do you go? You go to somebody and say it gets worse. So that everybody says, oh, you have to love them more, right? And I say, no, you have to frighten them more. They have no, I'm not going to gain any, this is not going to be very popular. It's going to be crazy Malinowitz. But I don't know, like at some point someone's going to wake up and say things are getting worse. So maybe we took a wrong turn 30 years ago. I don't know if it's Dr. Spock's fault or Rav Volba's fault. I don't know whose fault it is. Maybe we took a wrong turn. What? No, no. The Gedolim definitely, you go to Rav Steinman now, he'll say, never punish a kid, never yell at a kid, never, because they hold it won't work nowadays. There's too much out there. You read that whole book. I recommend the book, Off the Derech, right? The book called Off the Derech. A phenomenal book. Best, great. But the Yesod is, make Judaism pleasurable. Make it more pleasurable than what's out there. I don't know. You see, Yiras Onesh is, we don't have it. We're scared of it. It can't be a good thing. But so you say, we're on such a low madrega. Yeah, but things keep getting worse. You can never fight the street. I can't imagine you could ever make Yiddishkeit as appealing as an iPod or a tablet or whatever they have. You can't. I don't know how you can do that. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. I'm talking about myself. Okay. You have to have Yiras Onesh. That'll work. At least the kid has to know that he has no choice. Once a kid knows, if a kid thinks you will never expel him from the school, that you can't be a principal. I wouldn't be a principal with those rules. The kid has to know I can get kicked out of school if I cross the line. Then, after he knows that, then you make him like school and you give him prizes. And you don't stay with that, because then he'll be resentful and rebellious. That's true. But I look at it as you need it in the background lurking. It's really, you need it in the background lurking. If you don't have that, then he'll just do what he wants. He won't get thrown out. If no matter what, you're not going to get fired. Go to a boss and tell them, give your worker incentives and bonuses and vacation days and praise him and this and that, but you're guaranteeing him he will never be fired. You're gonna be nuts. What? That's tenure. Yeah, that's why the universities look like they look. Because they have all these tenured professors. I don't know. So again, we're back to, I'm not dealing with why it's a high madrega. The reason it's a high madrega, I believe, in the Chavos HaLavos, and I went off on a rant. Forget that. The reason, I don't know, I think my kids are scared. When I had kids I had to deal with, they knew that if they stepped over a certain line, I would throw them out of the house. Yeah. I should be ashamed to say it. I don't have girls in shidduchim anymore, so I don't care. They knew if they stepped over a line, I am not going along with this baloney. I'll throw them out of the house. If they cross over a line, I'm talking about. But I've spoken to Rav Rizak, who's a genius in chinuch, a genius. You know, no matter what, they have to know they have a house, they're by you, you love them, no matter what. I say they bring home, and they go upstairs, yeah. Because you have no alternative. I don't know. Rabbi Rizek's like a genius in chinuch. I mean, I'd send people to him, he's a genius. But I don't know. My kids knew, not all my kids, I was never holding there, but I had, two kids. You'll never find out who. They knew if they stepped over a line, they're out of the house. And that, I believe firmly that kept them in line. But of course, I totally agree and admit, and will be the first to say, you can't stay there, because if you stay there, they'll go off. But you need that as the backing. You need that as the backing. And then you could start with the bonuses and the prizes and the ava, and look how good it is, and look how geschmack it is, and look at all the benefits, and you want to please Hashem. Ask any principal if he'd run his school that you can't throw a kid out no matter what, and which is what Gedolim basically say, that you can't throw a kid out no matter what, unless he's ruining other kids. That's like the only heter to do it, if he's ruining other kids. So then you can't let him do that. You can't let him ruin other kids. But they do say that. What I'm saying is, like, out of the ballpark crazy that they do say. It's said. This is how it's taught nowadays. And you tell a prince, but you tell, go to any boss and say you can't fire a worker no matter what. And you should work with incentives and bonuses. They'll look at you like you're crazy. You said, within 1 year, my factory is going to have to close down. They have to know that if they don't perform at a certain minimum level, they're going to be fired. Anyway, getting back to Chavis Halvavis, but the reason he puts it on a high madrega is because in the Chavis Halvavis' world, the main thing is to be single-minded. Yichud HaMaisa. And there's more single-mindedness in Yiras HaOnesh than there is for Schar. Because Yiras HaOnesh is passive. Like I said, I'll behave, and then I know there's a baseball bat there, but I'm not doing it now so that I shouldn't get hit with the baseball bat. It's more like background. So Chavis was, Avodas' world, the way he sets up life, and Avodas Hashem, that's a higher madrega. Because you're more single-minded in doing Ratzon Hashem. And Schar just eats away at that more than Yiras HaOnesh eats away at that. Kach Nira Li, to explain this very difficult struggle with this Chavis HaVavis, why Yiras HaOnesh, which Silas HaSharon puts so low, and the Rambam puts so low, why he puts it so high. And he puts it above Schar. Puts it above love of Schar. Number six is love of Schar V'Olam Hazeh, because you don't have in mind Olam Haba. Number seven is Schar V'Olam Haba, which all the Musas Farm say to do. It's so hard to break from that. And number eight is, no, you just have Yiras HaOnesh, but you want to please Hashem. But okay. Number nine, and we'll stop here. Okay.